Good morning again. Thank you for worshiping with us as we gather here online. You know, I was thinking about this particular story with the judge who is, well, corrupt, who kind of gets his arm twisted into doing the right thing. And I got to thinking about a friend of mine who was in charge of running a seminary in the African country of Tanzania. Now, I don't know if you know a lot about Tanzania, but there are a lot of Lutherans in Tanzania. And unfortunately, a lot of corrupt judges, too. So while my friend was running the seminary in Tanzania, he'd hired a fellow to be the night watchman. It's kind of important that they have a night watchman because theft was fairly common where the seminary was located. Well, night after night, my friend came in and found the night watchman asleep on the job. So eventually, my friend fired the night watchman. And the night watchman said to himself, "You know, this seminary is run by Americans, and Americans all have money, so I'm going to take them to court and sue them for unfairly firing me." So my friend gets a phone call from the judge. The judge says, "I want to come and talk to you about this case. I think we can come to a realistic solution to this." And the judge sits down with my friend and says, "Look, this guy's clearly lazy. He's clearly sleeping on the job. His lawsuit is silly. It's going to cost you what was the equivalent of about $5,000 American." So the judge says to my friend, "Let's not do that. How about you just give me $1,000 and I'll dismiss the case?" So my friend said, "Well, that sounds an awful lot like bribery," to which the judge shrugged and said, "Or I can let the case go on and I can give the other guy $5,000. What the judge didn't know was that my friend, he was friends with some police officers. Not just any police officers. He happened to know a couple of fellows who had been trained by the United States FBI. They were part of an anti-corruption task force in the country of Tanzania. And so he calls them up and says, "Hey, I think I might have a case for you. This judge is asking me for a bribe." So they set up a sting operation. And sure enough, they catch the judge on camera asking for and receiving a bribe. The judge is stripped of his position. He's sent to jail. Everything turns out, well, you would think it turns out. A few weeks later, my friend is working at his desk, and he gets a phone call from the police officers. And the police officers say, "Hey, just wanted you to know that, in fact, we are done with the case. In fact, the judge was found guilty. He is going away to jail. But we have something we want to talk to you about." So he says, "Sure, come on over. We'll talk." So they sit down at his desk and they say, "Look, what you probably need to know is that court case that the judge was trying to coerce you into giving him $1,000 for, it's still pending. It's still on the books. And in theory, when the judge is replaced, another person could come in and perhaps want to hear the case, and they might do this whole thing over again." My friend said, "Well, that's unfortunate, but I guess it is what it is." And then the police officer who was in charge of finding corruption says, "You know, if you just give me $500, I can erase all the records." My friend said, "No, I'll just wait and see if the new judge wants to hear the case." I actually never heard whether there was a new judge that came and heard the case, but the fact that the anti-corruption police officer offered a $500 bribe to take the case and erase it from all of the records sort of tells you everything you need to know about human governments. In Jesus' story, he tells the story about a widow. Now, in Jewish culture, widows were supposed to have a special position in society. They were supposed to be part of the protected class. That is to say, a group of people who receive exceptional treatment under the law. So a widow could rightfully expect that they could ask a judge or a governor or a leader within their community for something that other people couldn't ask for and expect to get it because they were part of a protected class of people. This makes sense if you think about the way that property rights transferred from male heir to male heir in ancient Israel. To be a widow was to be a very vulnerable individual, and so Israel's laws were set up to take care of them especially. The fact that the widow couldn't get justice from this judge tells you just how bad and corrupt this individual was. And so the widow goes to the judge over and over and over again. And this judge, who's thoroughly corrupt, says, you know what? I don't care what anyone thinks about me. I don't care if God likes me. I don't care if my neighbors like me. But this old widow, she is just about to break my back. In fact, there's this great verb that we translate as she's going to wear me out. It actually is kind of a little more complicated. The verb actually means she's going to make me black under my eyes. And whether you read that as she's going to exhaust me so much that I've got dark circles, or that she's just going to wallop me one of these days, it's kind of up to you to decide which way it means. One way or another, this judge was pretty certain that he didn't want to have to deal with this widow any longer, so he renders judgment in her favor. Which, if you think about it, is probably not the ideal way for justice to happen either. But Jesus says this to talk about the way that justice happens in this world. He basically says, look, I get it. This world is full of unjust treatment. It's full of people who don't give you what they ought to give you, don't provide for you what is your right to receive. And the simple fact of the matter is, if you want to make right things happen, sometimes you're going to have to push really hard to make that happen when we're talking about humans. But when we're talking about my Father in heaven, Jesus says, God is different. God hears your pleas. God listens to your prayers. When you pray for justice, God will hear you and will answer you. You don't have to nag him. You don't have to threaten to give him dark circles under his eyes for whatever reason they might be coming. You don't have to worry about him not hearing when you ask for that which is just. God hears and responds, and he does so, Jesus says, swiftly and decisively. We need to remember that our prayers amount to a lot. That the world needs us to be praying for things that are good, things that are righteous, things that are rightful. The world needs us to be speaking truth because, honestly, the world is full of unfair judges. And politicians and governors and senators and presidents and prime ministers and you name it. The world is full of politicians who are not necessarily fearing God or their fellow people, but instead are very focused on themselves and what they want. And so God knows that this is a part of our reality. So he wants us to send our prayers to heaven in order that righteousness might abound here in this world. He wants us to pray without ceasing for good to happen. The world needs our contribution. The world needs our thoughts and prayers. But I'm gonna put a little bit of a spin on this that I think we need to be cautious about. It's not that the world doesn't need our prayer. It needs it more than, well, any time in my lifetime, maybe any time in your lifetime. No. What I'm going to say to you now is to be cautious that when you take upon yourself the role of praying for righteousness, praying for justice, praying for right to happen in this world, beware that God may answer your prayers. I say beware that God may answer your prayers because the way God might answer your prayers is by sending you to go nag the judge, by sending you to go wear out the politicians, by sending you to be the widow who threatens to make black circles appear under the eyes of our leaders. Sometimes God answers prayers by saying, yes, that should happen. Russ, I will give you the strength to do it. Now go do it. And then you find yourself thinking, well, I didn't want to make the good stuff happen. I wanted the good stuff to happen to me, not from me. Which, of course, God reminds us that the good stuff that he sends us to do, he gives us strength to do. He gives us wisdom to do. He gives us courage to do. And in that way, it's God's hand doing the good thing through us. You may find yourself in a position in life where you are praying for good things to happen. And God says, let's make some good things happen. How about you go do them? I will be with you every step of the way. And I jokingly say you have to watch out for that, because it's not a curse. It's a blessing. It's an enormous blessing to be a part of God's plan for humanity and to take upon yourself a role that the Holy Spirit leads you into, empowers you to do, and then causes marvelous things to happen through the power of the Holy Spirit living in you and I. So I say to you today, you may live in a world where judges ask for bribes, and sometimes the police ask for bribes, at least if you're living in Tanzania. We may live in a world where our politicians are sneaky and untrustworthy and, well, sometimes just downright frightening. That's not the end of the story. That's not the final authority. God Almighty is the final authority in this world. And when we pray to God, we trust. We trust with all our heart that God, who is good, will make good happen. Even if he sends us to do it. And so I say to you all, keep praying, keep trusting, keep hoping, and yes, keep responding when God sends you to do that which needs done.